Das kann sich nicht aber gesagt, wenn wir mit dem Mr. Afkuf Yud Gimel. Vielleicht mal, why is it that Rabbanan allowed a minor to eat truma when she's only rabbinically married to a Kohen, but they don't allow a deaf mute woman to eat truma when she's rabbinically married to a Kohen? But it says, Zegzera to prevent a Chareshes who is married to a Cherish Kohen from eating truma d'oraisa. Frag the more a cherish chareshes are not chayiv in mitzvahs, and we should therefore not be concerned that they may eat something that's ozer, just as we don't have to prevent a minor from eating something that's ozer. More so, we're concerned that if we allow the chareshes to eat truma, then a healthy woman who is chayiv in mitzvahs married to a cherish kayim will also eat truma. Why can't such a woman eat truma de rabbanon since she's rabbinically married to this kohen the cheirish? Mar said we're concerned that it will lead her to eat truma de rice as well, and the rice is she's not the wife of a kohen. Why is it that a minor is given a ksuba and a deaf mute is not? Mar says we don't want people to be deterred from marrying the deaf mute. If it's going to cost them with a ksuba, they're not going to go ahead and marry her. If someone, a healthy woman, marries a deaf mute man, she should get a ksuba so that the woman should not be deterred from marrying such a man. Mar says a woman wants to be married more than a man wants to be married, so therefore we don't have to further entice a woman to marry him. He once had a deaf mute write a ksuba for his wife. Rava said this was based on the logic that the man would have to pay for a person to tend to all his needs, so he should surely write a ksuba to a wife who will do that and much more. Rabbi Abashi and Shmuel said one would not bring an Ashim Tali for mistakenly living with the wife of a deaf mute, which shows that she's not even considered to be a wife as a suffix. Maybe we can bring a proof from a Mishnah which says that the truma separated by a deaf mute is not considered to be truma at all. We see that he does not have the ability to do any sort of acquisition, which seems to be what Shmuel is saying. Mar says no. Maybe that Shmuel holds like a Belozer, who says that the truma separated by a deaf mute is a suffix. Shmuel maybe means to say that it's a suffix marriage as well. If it's a suffix, why wouldn't you have to bring an Ashim Tali? The Mar says he holds that in order to be chayv an Ashim Tali, the mistake has to be done when choosing the wrong piece from among the good piece. Although Rabbi Lazar holds that that's not required, it could be that regarding the halacha, Shmuel doesn't agree with Rabbi Lazar. He agrees with him regarding one point, but not regarding the other point. Another version of Shmuel was that he said that a person would have to bring an Ashim Tali for living mistakenly with the wife of a deaf mute. Although the Mishnah says that the truma separated by a deaf mute is not valid, Shmuel will hold like Rabbi Lazar that it's a suffix. Rav Ashi asked, why does Rabbi Lazar hold that the mental capacity of a deaf mute is a suffix? Is it that although Rabbi Lazar is certain that he has limited mental capacity, he doesn't know whether it's sufficient to make acquisitions, but that level remains constant for him for all times? Or is it because there are times when a deaf mute has more mental capacity and at times when he has less? The difference between these reasons would be whether he can divorce a wife. If his level remains constant the whole time, then he can divorce his wife. Just as he was at the same capacity to marry his wife, he can use that same capacity to divorce his wife. However, if there are varying levels, then maybe he was at a higher level of mental capacity at the time of the marriage, and therefore we can't allow him to divorce because he may be at a more limited level of mental capacity at that time. Gemara leaves with a teiku. The Mishnah said, "Shtatei." So Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Deraisa, a woman who is a shaita may be divorced, since she's no worse than a healthy woman who may be divorced without her consent against her will. However, the Rabbanan said that she may not be divorced so that she have a protector from immoral people so that she remain married." What is the case that Rabbi Yitzchak was referring to? If he was referring to a woman who is capable of safeguarding a get and of protecting herself, then clearly the Rabbanan wouldn't have to be goyzer for her. If she's incapable of doing both those things, then even deraisa, she can't be divorced based on the psukim. Where it says the case is where she's capable of safeguarding a get, but not capable of protecting herself, deraisa, she can therefore get divorced, but the Rabbanan says she cannot, so that she should have someone who takes care of her. Abaye said, this can be seen in the Mishnah as well, which says that the woman's shaita cannot be divorced, and says that the man's shaita cannot divorce forever. This suggests that the man cannot divorce deraisa, whereas the woman cannot divorce only the Rabbanan. The Mishnah said, Amar Rabbi Yechon Manuri v'chulo. Was Rabbi Yechon Manuri certain that a man deaf mute cannot divorce his wife and was only unsure about divorcing a woman deaf mute, or was he sure that a woman can be divorced and his question was regarding a man? The Mar says, from the fact that the Rabbanan and the Mishnah told him that the case of a man is very different than the case of a woman, it must be that his question was regarding the man. Maybe since they brought the case of the minor deaf mute, it shows that his question was regarding the woman. And for the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan was talking to the Rabbanan and said, according to me, just as a man deaf mute can't divorce, the same way a woman deaf mute can't be divorced. However, according to you, why is a woman different than a man? They answer that a man needs competence to divorce, and a woman does not need competence to divorce. She can even be divorced bal karcha. The Mishnah said, hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah v'chulum. Rava said, from the testimony of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah, we can learn that if a man tells witnesses that he has a get in his hands and that he's giving this to his wife, and he then tells her to accept this promissory note from him, it was truly a get, but he just told her it's a promissory note, and she takes it, she'll be divorced, just as Rabbi Yechon HaGudgudah said, that her consent is not needed. In fact, this seems pashut, pshita. Where it says, we would think to say that by him telling her it was a promissory note, he has thereby made the get batal. Rava teaches that since he told the witnesses that it was a get, he did not intend to make it batal. The reason he told her it was a promissory note was because he was embarrassed to tell her that it was a get.